I'd like to encourage each of you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, that's where I'd like to begin our lesson in just a moment from a text in Matthew chapter 26. Very glad to see each of you here this morning. We are thankful for not only your presence, but those of you who are visiting with us. We thank you for being here. And certainly we are grateful to our God for the opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to join our hearts and the fruit of our lips in honor and praise to Him, and to be able to encourage and edify one another through godly living and through righteous words. And now from a study from God's Word, I'd like to talk about backsliding. The word backsliding is a biblical expression that's used in the Old Testament 12 times, 10 of which are found in the book of Jeremiah. And they all describe a spiritual condition of God's people. But it's not a positive spiritual condition, but rather one that they ought to be seriously concerned about. One that ought to prompt within them a concern for, well, themselves and their relationship to Holy God. To backslide, let's define this. It is to slide back, to lapse morally. And more specifically, it is to abandon the Lord and salvation, turning once again to the world and to spiritual ruin, to slide back in our lives, to slide back in our service, to slide back in our worship. And while we don't find this term in particular in the pages of the New Testament, I believe we do find the very same concern that God has for us as He did for His people then. And I believe we find that same concern expressed, though in different terms. And so I'd like to consider that there are numerous New Testament passages that warn us against backsliding. The first warning is one that is from Jesus Himself, and He is speaking to His apostles, and He says to them on the night in which He was betrayed that they are to watch and pray. They are to watch and pray. Why? Because He said, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we remember from Peter that he demonstrated great confidence that he would stand by the Lord and that he would do whatever was within his ability to resist evil and to uphold the Lord and His cause and to further the cause of His kingdom. But we know that while his spirit was willing, we know the man had difficulty in carrying that out at times. And in fact, he would be challenged by Satan in the very next hours. And sadly, he would fail some of those tests. And let me jump ahead briefly and say, to his credit, he came back to the Lord. He did not allow himself to remain apart from, and his departure to be permanent. He returned. But the Lord would not warn His apostles if it were not possible for them to fall. Further, the Hebrews writer has written this in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. And while you're turning there, I'll say that the first word there is beware. Beware, because there is something we need to be aware of, brethren. And the Hebrews writer, by inspiration, says that we are to beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, He's not talking to those who are in the world. He's not talking about those who have been lost because of a life continuing to live apart from God. He is talking to brethren, notice. And He says that those brethren, He is saying that we need to be aware. Why? Because within us, there may be an evil heart of unbelief that will cause us to depart from the living God. And if He is giving us warning, then that means that we can resist that departure. We can, in fact, cultivate a heart that is good and that is right and that is appropriate before Holy God. Furthermore, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul warned the Christians at Corinth, as he warns us through these words, against backsliding. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And the church at Corinth was a congregation of people who had their troubles. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter, an epistle, to help them so that they might not depart from the Lord, so that they might make the necessary corrections in their life to remain in good standing with God and to be upright and faithful to the Lord in their lives and in their service and in their worship. But you know, in that congregation, as in this congregation today, there could have been people who said, well, you know, that's not me. He's writing to those people over there. He's writing to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so because they have a problem. You know, he says, look, brethren, you need to beware. If you think you stand, you think you're upright, you need to be careful. Take heed. Pay attention. Because you could fall. He's not talking about physical falling. He's not talking about stumbling over some physical obstacle in the way of your physical path. He's talking about spiritual falling. Falling away from God. Backsliding. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Peter gives constructive command which warns us of the possibility of falling away. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we want to look at verse 10 in that opening. 2 Peter chapter 1, notice with me verse 10. Again, notice he's talking to brethren. He's talking to those who are within Christ, those who are sharing in the spiritual blessings of Christ. And he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do those things that are prescribed by God through the Holy Spirit, he says, you won't stumble. Which indicates, it implies, and we should necessarily infer that if we don't do these things that are prescribed by God, then we will certainly stumble. And so, let's don't be a person who says, that'll never happen to me. It very well could. It may very well have happened to you. And so, there are certainly warnings about backsliding for us in the New Testament. In fact, the New Testament provides us with examples of those who were involved in that current state of backsliding. The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, in part to deal with some of those brethren who had turned away from God and the gospel. And what they were seeking to do was abandon the gospel of Christ and to go back into the law of Moses and to put themselves under subjection to that law which was no longer a law in force. It was a law which they could not be justified. In fact, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 as the screen behind me directs. Galatians 5 verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. What a sad circumstance it would be to be among that number who were counted as saved, who were counted as being brethren and fellow partakers of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, and yet to have that warning. Not just of a future possibility, but to say you are currently in this circumstance of having fallen from grace. Now, we don't know the names of those people. And we don't need to know their names to learn the lesson, to pay attention to ourselves, to make sure that we ourselves are engaged actively in upholding the gospel of Christ, to living it in our lives, to speaking it through our words, and to holding on to the hope that is presented within it. We don't know the names of those in Galatia who were departing from God and fallen from grace, but turn over to Acts chapter 8. We do know of a man named Simon. Now, Simon, we're not really told how much time took place in the events recorded in Acts chapter 8. But in Acts chapter 8, we have the efforts of Philip, a preacher of the gospel in the area and the region of Samaria. And we have there in that place a lot of people who came to know Christ and to be obedient to the gospel by being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And according to the Holy Spirit now, this man Simon was one who was a part of that group, who was an active baptized believer. And some will try to dismiss him as saying, well, he wasn't really a believer to begin with. He just sort of fooled Philip and the apostles. But you know, the record here is in fact recorded by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has identified him as a baptized believer in Christ. And the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to give warning to that man in his sin, in his departure from God. And we'll notice this in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the apostles money, saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, he had been a sorcerer, a magician, a man who fooled people for a living before this, his conversion to Christ, and now he saw an opportunity to make some money. That old way of living had not departed from him. He, in fact, felt that same old habit, that same old pull back to that kind of thinking and that kind of living. But in verse 20, Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, he was right before, as he was someone who came to Christ and had been converted to Christ in obedience to the gospel, but as long as he maintained this kind of attitude and expressed this kind of sinful desire, Peter, he said by inspiration, your heart is not right with God. Your money perish with you. He was in a lost circumstance. And so the Apostle Peter in verse 22 said, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So that is God's plan of pardon for the child of God who has involved himself or herself in sin. Repent of your sin and seek forgiveness through prayer with God. Live the life that God has called you to and put away that which He has told you to put away. There was a man who departed from God for a time. And then there was Demas. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sorry, I didn't put Simon on the screen there. Let's go to Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Here we have a mention of a man who abandoned the Apostle Paul and more significantly, well, he abandoned the Lord. And as of the writing, as of what we have recorded, we don't know that he ever returned. But you'll notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, not only does the apostle indict the man, but he provides us with what God would find wrong in his behavior and in his attitude. Verse 10, the first section of that, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. He loved the world, the things of the world, rather than the things of God. And he left something undone. That is his help of the Apostle Paul in his need. And then further, and again, we have a congregation. A congregation who's warned about departure from the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's turn over there and notice this. And while you're turning there, let me point out that in the judgment and final analysis, it is individuals who will be either found righteous by God or condemned by God. And it is individuals who will be either ushered into eternal life in the presence of God forever, or it will be an individual who is escorted away from the presence of God to live in the devil's hell. But here it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is in fact bringing a concern and a warning against a congregation of God's people. And he warns that they've left their first love. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. You know, despite the fact that you have something going for you, and there's something that I could praise you for, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Do the first works, or else I will come quick to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. You see, at that point in time, when they received that letter, all hope was not lost. There was opportunity, as long as there was breath in the body of the individuals who comprised that work, they had opportunity to repent of their sin and to be right with God. They had an opportunity to once again allow their light to shine as a congregation of God's people in a community which needed them. But he says, you must remember your first love. You must turn from the wickedness and return to doing the good, the first works. So, just from these words alone, I think we can already see and we can already agree that it is a dangerous thing to be involved. It is a dangerous thing to be involved as individuals or as a congregation in backsliding and going backward, in departing from the Lord and His plan and His pattern. Let's think a little more about what is the big deal if we backslide. Well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, we'll find that we'll be unacceptable to God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus is presenting His Sermon on the Mount. He is talking about the quality and the character of heart and of life of the citizen of His kingdom. Now remember, backsliding, as I've defined it early on in the lesson, is to abandon the Lord, to abandon salvation, turning once again to the world and to spiritual ruin. And Jesus says if we backslide, if we depart from Him, then we aren't acceptable. Matthew 5 and verse 13, using the imagery and the metaphor of salt, He says, you are the salt of the earth. That's a good thing. There is a preserving quality and a flavor that is added by salt. But He says, but if the salt loses its flavor, not if the salt hasn't ever had flavor, He said, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You see, salt is the seasoning. You can't add seasoning to salt. Salt is the seasoning. And if it loses its seasoning, He said, you can't add to it again. And then He goes further and says, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's not, oh, well, we found a secondary use for it. He's saying it's not the value, it's not the worth that I say you should be living up to. You're not who I'm praising you for now if you lose that savor. We will be unacceptable if we backslide. Look at Luke chapter 9 and consider that we will be unfit for the kingdom if we backslide. Luke chapter 9, in verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus gives a warning. Again, as He often did, He uses the imagery that would help the common man, the common woman in that day and age, and even us, understand His point. It's very graphic. And He says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And what happens, even if you've never put physical hand to physical plow, what happens if you put your hand to the plow and you begin to engage that plow in the work of tearing up and distributing the earth, but you then look back, you go off course. You don't accomplish the work that you set out to accomplish. You don't do what the Master has for you to do. You end up looking back, you end up departing or just stopping altogether. And He says, no one having put his hand to the plow, no one having engaged his heart in the life of a Christian and in the kingdom of God, but then looking back to the world as Lot's wife did, He says is fit for the kingdom of God. Now that's a warning we ought to listen to and seriously consider in our lives. Peter further warns that, well, the state of anyone who backslides, who goes back to the world, is worse than when they were first in sin. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 beginning. He says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, that is, engaged or entangled in the pollutions of the world, overcome by the pollutions of the world. He says if they are, then the latter end, the latter result, is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them, well, not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. He says, look, if someone is lost in the world, we can appeal to them with the gospel. We can show them the righteousness of God, and we can share with them the love that God has for them and the desire and the command that He has for us to, well, to make ourselves right through obedience to His will. But the one who has made himself or herself right with God, who has listened to the appeal of God and answered in obedience, but then departs once again, well, what is the appeal? How can we appeal to them except to remind them of their first love? And if they reject that, there is nothing else. There's nothing else that we can use except the righteousness of God, which they've rejected. And the Holy Spirit, in fact, in verse 22, uses two metaphors to describe how repulsive this departure is to the Lord and really how it should be to us. He said, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. We're not going to talk about those things at length, but have you ever seen that? It's disgusting. And as disgusting as that is, in the imagery and in the reality of a dog and a sow, how sad it is to see a child of God who has been washed by the blood of Christ soil themselves once again by choice and remain in that circumstance. Brethren, don't backslide. Don't depart. Don't abandon. Don't leave your first love. Because when a member of the Lord's church backslides, everyone is negatively affected. Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me, please. Matthew chapter 5. Again, this is a text we read and referenced a moment ago. I won't try to belabor that same point, but the local congregation of the Lord's church loses a member and loses a worker when we depart from the Lord and backslide into the world. The family of God. Family of God loses a brother or sister who is beloved to them. And the community in which they live loses influence. Loses someone who is doing good when they are engaged with Christ and the work given by Christ. They lose the godly example and the light and the savoring salt. In fact, that's the point of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, once again in verse 13 beginning, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You see, if you depart, you're no longer serving as that seasoning that God desires for you in this community. Verse 14 continues. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he makes that very positive but direct appeal to us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, if we are hiding our light, if we are letting our light dim and go out because of neglect, because of choice, or even because of ignorance, we are not doing the good works that glorify God in heaven. And if we are not doing good works which glorify God in heaven, then I'm sad to say we are engaged in evil works which are disreputable to the God of heaven, which hurt the cause of God in heaven. And Jesus has said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till it was all leavened. And that can be a good thing. And that should be a good thing. We should be doing our good works, not to be seen of men, but to glorify our God in heaven. And that is something that permeates and affects not only the congregation, but then the community in which we operate and live. But if we are involved ourselves in sin, if we are involved in backsliding, in departing from the Lord, then we are leavening the lump with that which is corrupt. So, what's the big deal if we backslide? Well, we will be unacceptable for the kingdom of God. We will be unfit for the kingdom. We will be worse off than when we were. We were first lost in sin. We will affect others negatively. And finally, if there is no repentance, then the person, the man, woman, or even congregation who backslides will lose their individual souls in hell. In John chapter 15, notice beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. Here Jesus uses one of His I Am statements to express this truth and to impress upon us the necessity we have of being joined with Christ and with others who are of like mind. He said in verse 1 of chapter 15, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He," that is the vine dresser, "takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And He says, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch, is withered, and they gathered them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Just in recent months, Becky and I have been dealing with vine. Vine that has overgrown many parts of our yard. But I tell you, when we cut off a piece and separate it from the main vine, it doesn't take very long at all before you start to see that vine wither. And the next day it's just dried up. It has no life in itself. And it's not fit, He says, for anything except to be burned up. Brother, sister, are you in this circumstance? Are you lost in a circumstance of having departed from Christ, having no life in you because you've abandoned your first love? It doesn't have to remain that way. As long as there is breath in the body, there is opportunity for you. Those who are faithful to the Lord offer you this encouragement that was first offered by the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul. As workers, together with Him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Bear fruit. Be joined. Remain joined with God. Now, how should we feel and act towards the backslider? We should seek to restore them. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we should do our very best to help. Now, while you're turning to Galatians chapter 6, let me say that sometimes we extend help. Sometimes we offer help. Sometimes we're there to help, but the one who needs it most won't accept it. But we have to try. We have to make the attempt. We have to do our best. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Again, there's that warning. Don't think you're above it. You could very well fall into that same temptation. But seek that one who is lost. In James, he says we must convert or return them from the error of their way. In James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death, cover a multitude of sins." Now, you notice there is a turning there, but it's, you know, we attempt to turn someone around, but if they refuse that, we can't force them. We can't take someone by the ears and pull them back, chain them up and lock them up and say, "Well, you're serving the Lord, whether you like it or not." No. We can do our best to restore. We can seek to offer a kind word. We can seek to help or alleviate the need that may be there. But we cannot force this. We can just do our best. And so, if you're in the error of your way, accept the help that God offers Accept the help that God's people offer. Now quickly, how can we avoid backsliding? What can we do? What can we think to prevent it? Well, again, first and foremost, we could be aware that it's possible. We read this a moment ago. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So it's possible. I could be that one. And so I want to be aware of that. To keep from falling, we must not be satisfied with where we currently are. We must continue to press on, just as the Apostle Paul did. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the various, what we sometimes call as the Christian graces. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 beginning. He says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Here it is, "For if these things are yours and abound, then you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You'll be like that one part of the vine that's bearing fruit and that is being pruned by God so that you might bear more fruit. But then in verse 9 he says, "He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, if you add these qualities, these attributes to your faith, if you add these things, then you will never stumble." And he says further, "So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And that's what it's about, is being with God, being right with Him here and now, but being with Him forever in the everlasting home of heaven. We must decide, determine, and desire to grow spiritually. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Perhaps you've been growing cold, finding allure in the world because you've just neglected your study of God's Word. You can't apply it appropriately if you don't know it appropriately. Grow. And then, of course, as we saw the Lord say earlier, watch and pray. And all of these, certainly, we see having relationship to one another, being dependent upon one another and helpful to one another. But the truth is, not a one of us is perfect. Not a one of us is immune to this sin of backsliding, of falling away, of going back into the world. That's why the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, said, "Take heed, lest you fall." Let's be careful. Let's be so very careful with the way we are thinking, the words we are speaking, the life we are living, so that we won't become one of the many who have decided to go back into the world and to be lost. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, perhaps there's someone in the audience today who has made that good confession that Jesus is the Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Christ and you've made a commitment to Him in the past, having repented of your sins and seeking forgiveness for them through obedient living, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But somewhere along the way, you have neglected that growth, that life that He has called you to. Don't stay away any longer. Don't continue to wander. Return and pray that the Lord God forgive you this thought, this life apart from Him. Repent of your sin. Perhaps there's someone who in this audience is not a child of God, who has not put on Christ in baptism, who has still yet their sins because they have not come to Christ in obedience to His will and His Word. Well, you have the opportunity as well to make your life right, to repent of your sins, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And if we can assist you this morning in making your life right before God, we encourage you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing the song selected.